I grew up singing songs like that, those very songs, and they bring back a lot of memories for me. Although I have to say that the lyrics to them, if you really stop and think about them, are really strange. We're singing about somebody's death. We're singing about somebody's blood, and not just somebody's blood, but somebody from 2,000 years ago. And so the question is, how do we bring something that happened 2,000 years ago and we bring it back into our world today so that it actually makes sense to us? So that it's something that resonates with us and we can learn from it and we can embrace it. That's the challenge for us anytime we sing about the cross, anytime we sing about the blood of Jesus. How do we take something that makes not a whole lot of sense to our world, and what are we supposed to do with that? And lots of people in the Roman Empire were crucified. What was it that made Jesus' crucifixion so different than everything else? Why do we still remember it today? Why do we sing songs like this? I want to talk tonight about, just very, very briefly, a word that I don't know that you'll really find in too many translations of the Bible, but it's really all throughout. It's the word substitute or substitution. You hear that word substitute, and first thing that comes to my mind is substitute teacher. When I was in school growing up, there were few things that could bring greater joy to me and to my friends than to be told there's going to be a substitute. That made us very, very happy because we figured we could get away with a few more things than what we normally would. We could probably sit wherever we wanted to. And yet we always found out that, no, the substitute actually knew what they were doing and we couldn't get away with as much as what we thought. Maybe you hear the word substitute or substitution and you think about different foods that people substitute for one another, and you go to a restaurant, it says absolutely no substitutions. Or maybe you're one of those people who thinks that you can substitute certain foods for others, and certainly you can on occasion. And then somebody introduced me to the idea that you can substitute for mashed potatoes cauliflower mashed potatoes, and if you're one of those people that thinks that that's an acceptable substitute, we can still be friends. But we think about substitutes in a variety of different capacities, but usually whenever we get a substitute, we end up disappointed. We end up wishing we had the real thing. And the Bible, whenever it speaks about the doctrine of substitution, it's arguably the most important Christian doctrine that we have. When we hear that word, we have to understand, what is the Bible talking about whenever it talks about substitution? And to understand that is to understand the cross. The Bible uses a word in a variety of places in the New Testament that doesn't really stand for substitution, but it means in place of or on behalf of. It's the idea of substitution. You substitute something for something else, or someone for someone else. We understand that concept. We understand it whenever we cheer for our favorite sports team. We're not on the floor with the athletes. We don't even know these people, yet we cheer for them because they represent us. And we want to be associated with them when they're doing well. And when they're not doing well, we don't want to be associated with them. Whenever they're doing well, we say, we win. Whenever they do poorly, we say, they lost. But the idea of substitution is similar to that in the scripture. And I just want to take a look at one verse that's shown up in a couple different times already tonight. I want to look at it in the New International version of scripture and us to just sort of meditate on this passage, because I think it explains the idea of substitution for us in a way that is crucial for us to be able to understand. And it's 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, that he made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us, to substitute himself for us. Why? So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I want to pull out just a few things here that can help us to, again, understand in a fresh way, in a new way, perhaps for the first time ever for some of us here in the room, this important belief and foundation that we have here. This isn't just simply something that we can mentally think about. One of my favorite authors, Jerry Bridges, says this is the most important scripture in all of the Bible. And I would argue that that there are few verses that are more important than this one. First of all, we see that God is behind all of this. It says that God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us. God was the one who initiated this. God's hands weren't tied. This wasn't a plan B. This didn't catch God off guard that Jesus went to the cross. In fact, we see in Scripture that God brought this about. God was the one who, through his divine choice, laid on him the iniquity and sin of all of us. God chose to do that. And when Jesus was gathered with his followers on one occasion, he said, "No one takes my life. I lay it down on my own." No one made God do this. He chose to do it. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, to substitute himself for us. We see that. We also see in this scripture and this doctrine and this foundational belief of substitution that we needed a perfect sacrifice. Any ordinary sacrifice wouldn't do. We needed somebody without sin, and there's only one who could qualify for that. There's only one who could fit the bill. The Bible says that our problem is not just simply that we need an attitude adjustment. We don't just have to work harder and try harder and try to live better, but in fact, we are separated from God because of our sin. And the chasm between us and God and his perfect standard is too great for us to be able to cross. We need someone else who has a perfect record, a spotless record, a blameless record, perfectly righteous. The word righteous, describing doing what is right in God's eyes. And Jesus filled that to a T. Perfect and complete, never sinning once. And God made him who had no sin to become sin for us. He took this perfect sacrifice because our problem was so great, we needed something perfect to be sacrificed on our behalf in order to even have a chance to be made right with God. It's a substitution of Jesus Christ on our behalf. God made it happen, this perfect sacrifice. We also see in here that God did it for you, and he did it for me. It says that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And any time we take communion, like we're going to do here in a little bit, remember the words of Jesus who said, "This is my body for you. This is my blood for you. What I do for you." God loved the world and loved you so much that he gave his only son, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For us, for you. He substituted himself. We also see here the reason why God allowed this to happen, not only for us, but so that we might be made right with God. Not just so that we could have a boost in our life and have a better chance of being made right with God. No, we needed someone perfect to sacrifice themselves, and that was Jesus, so that we could be made right with God. You see, if my sin and my guilt, and all of us have sinned, all of us have fallen short of God's perfect standard. And if my sin and if your sin isn't transferred on him, then it remains on us. That's a problem. If our guilt is left to us to deal with, instead of being transferred on to Jesus as our substitute, we've got a problem. We're not right with God. If we have to bear the burden of our guilt and of our sin and of our shame and our condemnation because of falling short of God's perfect standard, we can't stand up. But God sent Jesus to be our perfect substitute so that we may be made right with God. What we have here is we have what's called the divine exchange. And there's two parts of it. On the one hand, we have Jesus, who had no sin, to be made sin for us. He wasn't just charged with our sin. He became sin. He was sin personified, as if he had done these things. The Message translation of the Bible says, God put the wrong on him who had done no wrong. That's the one component of this divine exchange, but the other component of this divine exchange is just as wonderful, is that in spite of our sin, we are not just given a declaration of not guilty, we are declared perfectly righteous because of this substitute if we allow Jesus to come in and to take hold of our life, if we accept what he did for us on the cross, that we can be made perfectly right with God as if we were the ones who had Jesus' perfect record. Those are two parts of the divine exchange. Jesus traded places with us. He exchanged his righteousness for our sin so that we could exchange our sin for his righteousness and his perfect record. What do we do with this? What do we do with this information? What do we do with the fact that Jesus is our substitute? It demands a response, plain and simple. For all of us here who hear that Jesus has made himself available to be our substitute, you have to apply that to your life. You have to receive that. It's an invitation. Jesus made the substitution possible, but you have to actually say yes to that invitation. And some of us here in the room have done that at different times in our lives. You did that perhaps like me when you were younger, or perhaps maybe you've done it in recent days, but there are also some of us here in the room that maybe have never exactly nailed down that decision. We've never said yes to Jesus being our sin bearer, to being our substitute. We've never actually allowed him to come and to forgive us, to ask him to forgive us. Jesus' substitution absolutely demands a response. There's no third alternative. You either say yes to it or you reject it. We have to respond. And the way that we respond is by faith, to say, Jesus, I believe that you died for me on the cross as my substitute. I deserve to die, but you died for me, and you died instead of me. That's what it means that Jesus is the perfect substitute. He died for you, and he died instead of you. So then you say, I recognize that that's what you've done for me, God, so come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. And let Jesus' substitution on the cross that paid the debt that I could never pay, let that just become a reality in my life. And if you've never come to a place in your life where you've done that, let tonight be the night. Don't waste any more time. Jesus is the perfect substitute, and God has put upon him our sin so that we might be made right with him. And he wants you to be made right with him. And nothing you or I do can make us right with him apart from what Jesus has done as our perfect sacrifice. Let's bow our heads. Father, any other substitute that we deal with in this life ends up disappointing us. But I thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your son Jesus to bear our sin, to even be crushed, the Bible says, for our sins and our iniquities. And I pray that the truth of that and the reality of it would become more real to us than ever before, that we would not go through the motions and sing these songs and be unchanged, but that we would realize we have a Savior. And I pray, God, for anyone here in this room who has not asked you to be their Savior, that today that they would pray and ask you to be their Savior and to save them, to rescue them from their sins. Your word, Lord, is very clear that not everyone will be in heaven one day, and that those who are not in heaven are not going to be in heaven because they've rejected Jesus as their substitute. And I pray, God, that that would not be the case for anyone here in this room. We believe that your son Jesus came that we might be forgiven and made right with you. Let that happen tonight, oh God, we pray. And if you want that to happen here in the room, Just simply tell God that in your own heart, in your own words. Say, come into my life. Forgive my sins. I accept Jesus as my substitute. Father, as we continue in this time of reflection and meditation and worship, pray that, Lord, we would do so mindful of the great cost and the great blessing that we have because of the cost, the price that Jesus paid for us. We're grateful. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen.